Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and I would like to welcome our guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Adib Kram, and I am the author of Darius the Great is Not Okay and Darius the Great Deserves Better. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. We are huge fans of your work at Syosset, and I believe you've actually worked with the high school before, I found out.
I did. I was supposed to actually come for their book day this year, and that was about a month after the quarantines began, and so we did a virtual book day and a series of presentations, and it was really good.
I like that you say quarantines, because that's the first time I've heard it referred to as that, and it makes perfect sense.
Oh, I'm trying to get it into the lexicon. I'm going to see if I can get it into Merriam-Webster by the end of the year. We'll see.
Let's use it a bunch of times. Through a bunch of quarantines.
Exactly.
All right. So talk a little bit about your Darius the Great books. The first one, Darius the Great is Not Okay, came out in 2018. Mm-hmm. Darius the Great Deserves Better just came out in August, mm-hmm. 2020. And I believe, am I wrong in the fact that I read that you have a picture book coming out?
I do have a picture book coming out in February of 2021. It's called Seven Special Somethings, and it's about the Iranian Nowruz holiday.
Very nice, which plays a big part in the first Darius the Great book.
It does indeed.
So I guess when did you start writing that? How did all the characters start to come together? I know a lot of people talk about how well you you sort of portray mental health and depression, which is not something for years and years. YA literature, just that was not really something that defined very well. And I think that made a lot of young adults who were feeling that way feel even more alienated if they couldn't see that portrayed in literature.
Yeah. I started working on the first Darius book in 2015, actually while I was, in fact, visiting my own family for Nowruz. Most of my family lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. They left Iran in the 80s after the revolution and got refugee status and settled in Canada. And so I was visiting them, and I had finished a different book recently that is, it was going to hide in a trunk forever because it was terrible. But I was looking for a new story, and I was thinking, what's a story that only I could possibly tell? And then I thought, oh, I should write a story about, an Iranian American kid like me with a big Iranian family. And very early on, I decided I wanted to make the character of Darius live with depression, because that's something that I live with, and I did not want Darius to be me, but I did end up putting a lot of myself into him. But also in 2015, I feel 2013, 2014, and 2015, we saw a ton of books in the YA space that all dealt with suicide in some way or another. And I was very frustrated that that seemed to be the only narrative about mental health that was out there. And I wanted to write about how it's like when you just live with it and it's part of your life, which I've dealt with for 20 years, more than 20 years now. And so I guess in a way it came out because I was annoyed with what was on the shelves and wanted something different.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's important to sort of get out there that it's unfortunate because suicide does happen, but there are many, many people who live with a suicidal ideation, depression, and they find ways to manage it through medicine, through therapy, there's a huge stigma, and no matter, I feel like no matter how many times people talk about it, how many books are written about it, it's going to take a very long time to really break down that stigma. And I think, you know, I think it's more common than a lot of people realize. So, yeah, so I know, you know, there's a lot of importance in writing a character like Darius. So other things, he doesn't 100% feel like he fits in mm-hmm. any particular world, unless maybe it's Star Trek the world of Tolkien, which is a very, again, like, I feel like that's a very, that's something a lot of kids and young adults do feel. You know, there's a lot of connection and disconnection in fandoms. How did you decide that to go with that?
That came about because as I was writing, very early on in the process, I was trying to do some math of like how old Darius was and how old his parents were. I had this like really alarming realization when I like wrote down their ages. I was like, oh, I'm actually closer in age to the parents than I am to Darius. And I just like had to lay down on the floor for a second and like process that I was like, now, you know, I'm now like a parent age instead of a kid age. And it was like the first time I had like thought about it creatively, like what it meant for me as a creator. And I was thinking, okay, like, that's fine. I'm fine with getting older. But it really made me think, like, what would I do if I had kids? And I was like, oh, well, I'd probably make them watch Star Trek with me a lot, because that's what brings me joy. And so I thought maybe that's something that Darius's dad should do with Darius. And when I was growing up, every Thursday I would go to my grandmother's house and we would watch Star Trek The Next Generation together. Like, that was a special thing for us. And so I just kind of gave that little bit to Darius and his dad. And kind of once I was there, I was like, well, maybe he actually likes it and is constantly making references to it in the way that I feel like when you're young and you are passionate about something, it just is kind of always on your mind. And I say that like it's not also true of adults, but I feel like especially the way I felt talked to when I was young and the way that I felt books talked to me, that maybe we didn't always honor that passion in young people and make space for it. And I really wanted to consciously say, no, this is cool. These are the things that Darius cares about. And it's, you know, it's just part of who he is.
I love that. And as a side note, my husband has watched Star Trek with my kids and myself. It's on in the background sometimes. And one of my sons, his first reaction, and they're 5, was to put on a jacket and just walk around the house. And we're like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm playing Star Trek. And I'm like, yeah, they do kind of walk around the ship a lot in their uniforms. But it was really funny. So there is, you know, a lot of, I guess, hereditary geekdom.
I think there is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, some of these properties like Star Trek, because they are long lived and because they keep reinventing themselves, they can speak to us intergenerationally about the way the world has changed.
Yeah, for sure. I think in the beginning, you know, Star Trek was very much what Gene Roddenberry wanted to see the future as. And as it's expanded, it's become even more nuanced than that. Mm-hmm. So Darius in the first book, he makes some, he travels to Iran. Have you ever traveled yourself?
I have never been to Iran. It's very fraught for Iranian Americans to do that, and even more so now after the Orange One ruined everything with the nuclear deal. So it's quite possible that I will never get to in my lifetime.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
It's how were you
a bummer?
How were you able to just sort of immerse yourself in Iranian culture and just the world? And did you get stories from family members, and what was the research process like?
I got tons of stories from family members and lots of family photos. And you know, growing up in Iranian diaspora, I was still like very aware of Iranian culture, and though it's, you know, my family is westernized in many senses, they're still very Iranian in other senses. And so in addition to what I got from my family, I then also did a lot of reading. I read books by Iranians like living in Iran or like more recently left Iran. I read books that were written in Farsi and then translated for English audiences. I read a lot of I read a lot of blog posts from people who had traveled to Iran, not Americans, but, you know, other people that have better relations with Iran and could travel there. And I spent a lot of time on Google Street View, clicking through the streets of Yazd to see what they look like now. And
Google Street View, from what I've been gathering from a lot of interviews we've been doing during quarantines, is a huge help for authors trying to write about a place that they're not able to travel to.
Mm-hmm. It's so it's so useful, and it's this weird thing where, like, who would have imagined that a car driving down the streets taking like weirdly distorted pictures of a city would end up being like such a useful thing? Like, it used to just be this like quirky thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, this is like an essential tool. Who knew? I guess Google.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they seem to be ahead of the times with a lot of things eerily, especially since a lot of all of a sudden everybody's learning on Google Classroom. So you mentioned reading. Did you say you were reading in Farsi? Do you speak Farsi?
I was reading English translations of Farsi.
Okay.
Books.
Yeah.
I do not. I understand it better than I speak it, but only oral. I can't read it at all, really. It's a whole different alphabet that I know only some of the letters.
So in the book, Darius doesn't speak Farsi, but his sister and his mother do.
Right.
So how did you make sort of the choice that his mother was going to cultivate that within his sister, but not so much himself?
That came from a lot of my own experiences being a child of diaspora and talking to other children of diaspora, and particularly biracial kids. And in my experience, there's a pretty consistent pattern that plays out with immigrant families, in that when they first move to their new country, or in this case, the United States, which is what most of my conversations have been about, there's kind of a push to assimilate for a while. And eventually that push to assimilation stops, and a lot of people will like stop and reflect on what they've lost and try to reclaim it. And that was kind of the pattern going on with Darius's mom, of, you know, wanting to perform Americanness as much as she could, and then eventually realizing that she did in fact want to hold on to her heritage as well, and start sharing that. And language is one of those things that's just so much easier to teach to young children than it is to older one, because so much of our ability to process language happens in like our first 2 years of life, as our ears get used to differentiating certain sounds.
That's, I think, from what I've witnessed, because I am absolutely abysmal at learning languages, and I grew up only hearing and only speaking English, but I've had some good friends who have grown up bilingual, and when they learn a new language, it's almost easier for them because they seem to grasp the concept of processing things in different languages, which I've always been exceedingly jealous about, but it is what it is.
Yeah, there's just different parts of the brain that get turned on when you're speaking multiple languages that make it easier to go from 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 in a way that leap from 1 to 2 is more difficult, and especially when you're an adult.
So you came back to Darius's story recently, and his friendship with Sohrab is just so central in sort of opening him up to, I guess, relationships in general and how he looks at the world. And of course, you know, he has to leave him behind in Iran, and also how he kind of perceives himself. How did you decide to go back to his story with everything that had happened? Were you always planning on a sequel?
I was not actually planning on a sequel. The first book was always intended as a standalone. And after it was done and off to the printers, I started work on a whole other novel, and it was a lot of fun, and I loved the characters, and it just never quite came together as a story. And so I was talking over with my agent, Molly, and we were talking about, like, what, you know, do we think that it's salvageable? Do we think there's a way to fix this book? And neither of us could really see a way to do that. And we we decided it was, like, maybe not the best follow-up to Darius, because at that time it was, I had just won the Morris Award, and so it was like getting some attention, and we're like, you don't want to follow up a book that has done well with a book that's crappy. Like, and I was like, yes, I also just never want to put out a crappy book in general.
Yeah, those, you don't want those Kirkus reviews.
Right. And so
they're brutal.
Right. And so we had this discussion of, like, what else am I interested in writing? And I tossed out a few ideas, and one of the ideas was like a follow-up to Darius, because I had done an event in Washington, D.C. at East City Books, and my editor was in the audience, and someone asked if I was ever going to write a sequel. And I was like, well, I don't know, but Dana was in the back row giving me 2 thumbs up. And so I always thought it was kind of a joke. But then as Molly and I were talking, I was like, oh, or maybe I could write a sequel to Darius, since Dana gave me the thumbs up one time as a joke. I'm always like, huh, what would that be about? And so I kind of described what I thought his junior year of high school would be like, and what I thought the story would be like.
And he's dating in this.
Yep, he is. And Molly was like, maybe you should try writing that story. And it turns out that I ended up having more to say, and that Darius had more to say and more to do. And
well,
so it's
kind
of an accident.
Well, it's a happy accident.
It really is.
I have not gotten a chance to read it yet. It is out at my library.
Oh, excellent.
And yes, but I did get a preview of the first few chapters, and it's great.
Oh, thank you.
And it made me laugh a lot. And I'm especially, there's one line, and I don't know if you want me to say this. I could take it out if you want, but he refers to his ears as Ferengi ears, and I just started laughing.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. I feel like all of us have those little parts of our bodies that we're a little self-conscious of.
Totally. It was right. It was a really interesting picture, and I thought it was, you know, it was fun watching him sort of embrace that side of himself while he's with a potential boyfriend, which I loved. It was really just very sweet watching that growth, and I can't wait to get my hands on it so I can actually read the rest.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest.
I'm sure I will. So talk a little bit about your upcoming picture book, 2021.
Ooh, so it is, I want to say it comes out February 16th. I think that's a Tuesday. But it's about a little boy, Iranian boy named Kian, whose family is getting ready for Nowruz. And one of the important parts of Nowruz celebration is the Sofra Hafsin, which is a table with seven items on it that begin with the Persian letter Sin, which makes the sound of S. And so Kian is, you know, seeing his family put this together and basically wants to know, like, why is it only seven? If we put more things on it, will that make the new year even better? And so he tries to help in the way that sometimes little kids help, and it doesn't go well. And then he has to basically put the whole thing back together with things he finds around the house.
That sounds pretty great.
It's very cute and funny, and I'm really, really, really happy with it. And the illustrations are so gorgeous.
I was going to ask, who is it illustrated by?
It's illustrated by an artist named Zainab Faidi, who is Iraqi American, and she just has these literally like warm, lovely illustrations that are just going to be absolutely perfect.
I look forward to seeing it. Very excited.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to thank you again for taking the time to chat with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Is there anything else you wanted to leave us with before we go?
I just always try to remind people to be gay and do crimes.
I was wondering when you were going to say that.
And just, I hope anyone listening to this, if we're still in the quarantine times when you listen to this, I hope you're doing well and staying sane and safe and healthy.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, so once again, this has been Jessica and
Adib Koram.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.